Ohio are you on?
I am. I'm on a sofa leading to salvation.
Oh, you
right in front of you. See, I got an alliteration in Dutch.
Oh, he did it. Yay! All right. Well, we should confess that Rick is actually here with me in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Home of Willem Dafoe and Harry Houdini.
So he died tragically because somebody hit him in the stomach.
Yeah, that's the way I want to go out. So
we can practice. I'm not sure what to do with that.
Yeah. My wife keeps offering to help me with the whole thing. So, man, how are you?
Good. I tell you what, I've been having fun here at Appleton. I had the cult talk with your group. How to recognize and kind of avoid some of the trappings of a cult. And then I was able to meet with a leadership team of one of our congregations here in Appleton and had a very good talk with them last evening. And they asked a lot of questions about how to get involved in mission. I was really, really pleased with it. And so from here, I head over to Eau Claire. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, you do. Nailed it.
And then from there, I'll go down to Milwaukee. So those are Eau Claire tonight, Milwaukee tomorrow, and then Cicero on Sunday.
Cicero, Wisconsin?
Illinois. Okay. Yeah, Cicero is a suburb of Chicago. Meeting leadership teams in all three of those areas. So.
Excellent. World traveler.
It was North Central traveler.
World traveler in the North Midwest.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not doing too much world travel anymore. So, got a question for you.
And I'll see what I can do.
Have you ever run across family or old friends or, you know, people that you've known who just don't get what you're doing with your life?
Well, I have worked in ministry for a while. So I do end up with that question sometimes. What is it? What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, who do you think you are? Being a minister to others.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wait, you're a pastor?
Yeah.
I've known you for a long time. Are you sure?
Well, I've heard, wow, they must have been desperate. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And my brother used to say, you know, you could get a job that makes real money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely not what I'm here for, buddy.
No, not really interested. No. Yeah. No.
But it's interesting because that's what happens is oftentimes we are not recognized for what we do, especially with those who we've known for a long time. I mean, I when I became a writer, and I write a lot of theological pieces now, I know there's people in my past who are thinking, who in the heck is he to be writing on theology? So it's interesting. I bring this up, Josh, because there's a story in the Bible that's similar to what we're talking about.
How strange.
Can you imagine?
It's as though God was trying to help us through life by giving us these stories.
Couldn't it be?
I don't know.
So, Jesus, he's the answer. All right, so next time, we'll talk about
Man.
So in Mark, there's a story about Jesus. It says, and he was, I'm just going to pick it up in the middle of the story in Mark 6. And I'm going to pick it up in the middle of it because I'm not going to go through the background. But it says, he left that place and came to his hometown. That's what I want to focus on. So he left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to preach in the synagogue, and many who had heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Now, I want you to notice that something in there.
Okay. All right. We're digging down. Yes.
We're digging down. We're opening the little capsule of the geocache. And we're saying, what do they mean by son of Mary? Where's Joseph mentioned? it's a little interesting to see, and then there's a lot of things. But here's the point. Jesus is back with us at home with his relatives. Mm. But you could say his relatives are not really at home with him. They're not really mm-hmm. acknowledging mm-hmm. who he is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I experienced this several years ago when I went to my dad's sisters and brothers. They have a big summer picnic out on a lake in Indiana. And I was living in California, and I've been out there for several years. And I came back, and I hadn't been back to see anybody for several years. And my dad kept trying to get them to ask me questions about my world travels and what I was doing, and nobody bit. Hmm. Not a single person could care less. Mm-hmm. And the reason was they could not understand why I would even ever leave Indiana.
Yeah.
They couldn't understand why I would want to go to college, why I would want to go to another country. I mean, it just was beyond them. And yeah. I think it's similar to what you're seeing here with Jesus, is that they're like, okay, I see these works that people talk about. I see these wonders that people are talking about. But, I mean, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
You know, we played kickball together, and you sucked at the game.
We've known each other since small times, man. Yes. And I know you. Yeah.
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 And it's like, and I think that what you just said is the key, is that they thought they knew him.
Mm.
Right? So he's giving them this teaching, and they're thinking, no, this is not the guy we know. This is not the Jesus we know. And furthermore, he's just the son of Mary, which is a direct offensive statement, because they're not acknowledging Joseph. They're acknowledging you're an illegitimate.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Okay, so they quite specifically say you are not. Yeah. They just don't leave Joseph out, and that's a very loud silence.
Oh, absolutely.
You would call it.
Because you are therefore unqualified to even be teaching, right?
Right. Why would we listen to you at all?
Right. Right. And it's interesting because, I mean, these were people that you would think that, I mean, I don't know, we don't have a lot of information about what Jesus was like when he grew up, but you would think that they would have seen that he was different.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he's not one to lie to his parents. He's not one to steal. He's not
sure.
one to do all these things. And probably a lot of Jewish kids were very similar. But he was also, I mean, they were aware of him being at the temple and when he was 12 years old and astounding the teachers.
Right. Right. They would have known that story.
Right. Yeah. And so what other stories were they aware of that we didn't, you know, we're not aware of?
We don't know. We don't know.
But anyway, they...
People have tried to fill in that gap
yes.
with all kinds of strange things.
Yes.
The Gospel of Thomas is one of the Gospel of Thomas is one of the pieces of fan fiction where people tried to fill in Jesus's childhood, you know, part of
yeah.
that being he would make birds out of clay and then they would fly out the window and like that kind of thing. So
yeah. the same one who kept saying, my time is not yet. My time is not yet.
Right. And then my time is not yet. Check out this bird. Yeah, it's all a little sus, as my kids would say.
Yeah.
That's a new word for suspect. It's all a little sus. That's a little sus, Dad. So anyway.
I can't keep up with this line, Josh.
I'm years behind.
But here they are. They're not happy with the fact that he is coming in as someone better than them. And I'm not saying that Jesus came in that way, but that people are looking at him that way. So he's got this reputation that he comes in, and it's like they want to put him back to his roots. They want to bring him back down to where they think he should be. And so they do it by insulting him, because this whole comment about Son of Mary is just, it's very insulting in Jewish society to bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, it's they just don't care. It's like, who are you to do these miracles? They're not talking about the miracles. They're not denying that they occurred, but who are you to do them? You know,
right?
Who
right.
do you think you are?
Yeah, which is strange to me. Like, he can do them, and then they're sort of like, let's talk about your qualifications to be able to do that.
Right.
Like, if somebody walked in water in front of me, I wouldn't be like, can I see your union card for water walking?
Yeah, but I think part of it is that they felt like they were not getting any credit for who Jesus was. Because they knew that his wisdom was from somewhere, but they also knew where he grew up. And so nobody in town gave you that wisdom.
Yeah.
Nobody in town gave you that ability to do these miracles.
Right.
You're ignoring us. And so as a result, we're going to ignore you. We're not going to pay attention to you. They would have loved to have been able to say, you know, it's like, that's my boy. I taught him everything he knows, but they didn't teach him anything. And so there's this jealousy. There's this animosity. And it's really interesting to me because the bottom line is they're rejecting him not because of what he did or what he's doing or what he knows. They're rejecting him simply because of where he's from. And they're from the same place.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind
of weird.
You would think they would have been really excited about it. But I would say in the end, his Jesus said, I can't do any works here because a prophet is not known in his own country. I would say that their rejection is really based on their unbelief. Right?
Right.
I cannot believe that you are who you say you are because I saw you grow up here.
Right.
And I've seen, Josh, a lot of pastors do this with young leaders. I saw you when you were a kid.
Right.
And I remember when you stole the bicycle from your neighbor or you beat up your sister or whatever the case
is. Yeah, sure.
And I'm not going to give you this leadership opportunity because that's who you are.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's this sense that we don't look at what God is doing in somebody's life. We look at our personal history with that person, and we can't get past that, and that's a problem. They couldn't believe who he was. Let's just kind of encapsulate this. Here's a group of people who did not believe in his works because they could not believe in him, right? And I find it fascinating that there's another story in the scripture that talks that Jesus is talking to this man who comes in, his son is demon possessed, and he's going through seizures and throwing himself a fire at him. And this man says to Jesus, if you can, you could heal him. And Jesus says, if I can, you know who you're talking to.
Right.
He said, all things are possible if you believe in me. And I think it's interesting because all things could have been possible. Nazareth could have been totally different if they had believed in Jesus, right? And then, so Josh, what's the lesson for us? It's like, the only thing that can differentiate us from the people in Nineveh or Nazareth and other areas like that is that we can believe. That's the difference. We have to believe. Jesus said, we cannot receive from one we don't trust and believe in. Well, I shouldn't say he said that. I'm paraphrasing what he said. So Rick says, do you believe?
Yeah.
But it really just boils down to that. We cannot receive from the one in whom we do not believe.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.